All right, we're going to open up, first of all, in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be in 26 and 27. We're going to talk on Mother's Day, how appropriate, we're going to talk a little bit about Mary. I'm going to tell everybody. I was going to call the message for today, Jesus' mom has got it going on.
Now who's offensive?
But, right? Todd approves. But most of my family did not approve. So we will not be calling it that. But, okay, do you like having the main point up front so you know what to listen for as you're listening? So I'll give you the main point today up front, all right? The main point that I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is going to impart and plant in all of us is this vital need that we have, not only for our relationship to the Lord to grow, but the value and the purpose that He specifically put us here with other people, not so that we could be in isolation, not so that we could, we could focus on our differences, but He put us here with other people because He never intended us to walk through this life alone. He never intended us to walk through as an island, never affecting anyone, never being affected by anyone. You're here, not to put too blunt a point on it, but you're here because if you look around this room, you're here because they're here. Everybody else that you see in this room, every place that you go and walk, or wherever you travel to in this world, wherever you happen to be, if you look around and you see some other person, they're the reason you're here. They're the reason you're here, and they're the reason that God is trying to work something within you. They're the reason that the Lord has specifically designed and planted a very specific set of skills within you, because all these other people have a need for Him as well, and they have a need for you, and you have a need for them. None of us is in this alone. Jesus Himself the Lord was placed, the Bible, I think it's one of the Psalms says that he places the orphans in families, right? Jesus was placed in a family. It was important enough to God that His own Son have this experience that we have, that He placed Him in a family so that He could be raised in love, so that He could be taught, so that He could be challenged, so that He could grow, right? Whenever I think about the humanity of Jesus, I always feel like it's a little weird to say that Jesus had to grow. Right? Because, well, He's Jesus. But Jesus had to grow. He's all of God. He's also all person. He's like 100% human, 100% God. I don't know how that works. I don't do math. But because of that humanity within Him, He still had to grow. He still had to learn. He still had to be challenged. He still had to He still had to respond correctly and make that choice whether to respond in the flesh or respond in the natural. At any point, He could have chosen, you know what, I think I'm just going to get angry with that person, and I think I'm just going to respond in the flesh. He had that choice, just like the rest of us all have that choice. And I think it's really important for us to remember right here at the start that God didn't intend for any of us, Jesus included, to go through this life alone. I'm going to read out what I wrote because sometimes I go off and I forget what I'm saying. It's the relationships we have with each other that nurture us, challenge us, and they inspire us to be all that He has planted in us. Right? So He's put things in us, and those things are hidden, but when we come into contact with others, those things are revealed. Sometimes that's bad. Right? But sometimes it's very, very, very good. And when those things that He's planted in us are revealed through our interactions with others, then He is revealed. And that's the whole point of this. So we're gonna get into another scripture in a moment, but I want us to go really quickly to Luke chapter 1. And I'm gonna read through this, and then I'm gonna mention a couple things because Mary is like she's a superhero of faith, isn't she? She is amazing. So we're in 26, verse 26. I'm reading out of the easy-to-read version, as always. I really am. That's not a joke. There's an ERV, and I read out of it. During Elizabeth's 6th month of pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin girl who lived in Nazareth, a town in Galilee. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph from the family of David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings! The Lord is with you. You are very special to Him." But Mary was a little confused, probably confused that there was an angel speaking to her anyway, right? It can be very disorienting, I would imagine. So the angel said, she said, what does this mean? The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. God is very pleased with you. That'd be nice to hear from an angel. Listen, you're going to become pregnant. You're going to have a baby boy. You're going to name him Jesus. He'll be great. People will call him the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will make him king like his ancestor David. He'll rule over the people of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary says, well, how's this going to happen? The angel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. The power of the Most High God will cover you. The baby will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And then he mentions to her about Elizabeth. And in verse 38, Mary says, and if you ever need to know anything about Mary, like I feel like this should be on the Mary t-shirt, right? This is on her family crest. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. So let this thing that you have said happen to me. And then the angel went away. Before we get into what Jennifer is going to be sharing this morning, it's really important to us to remember who Mary was, right? And not just as a person, but as a mom. Right? So moms, and if you have a mom, then you're super blessed. If you are a mom, you're super blessed, and you probably don't feel like it sometimes, but you are. But moms, you know your kids, right? Better than anybody else in the world. Before they came into this world, before they were the little kid that they are, before they were the baby, 4 weeks old. Sarah, you knew Madeline before she was born, right? You knew who she was. You have that connection. You can feel her. It's so important to know that that while Jesus is growing in the womb, Mary not only knows who Jesus is, she knows what he's going to become, but she knows who he is. She's got this connection to him that transcends every other earthly connection that he has to anyone. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And what I love about Mary is how, I mean, God knew what he was doing when he picked her. How beautiful to put his son in a home where her default response when she hears trouble, you know, it could be troubling to hear you're about to carry the Son of God, right? And also you're about to suffer some social, you know, stigma because you're about to have a baby and you're not married yet. And it's going to be all kinds of crazy. And Mary hears that there's conflict brewing. And her response is, I'm just here to serve. So whatever it is that the Lord wants, go ahead. I'm ready. Do that to me. I start tearing up when I think about it. Whatever it is that the Lord wants, do that to me. So what do we know about Mary? We know that she is humble. We know that she's not in this to seek her own. We know that she's got a sacrificial nature. She's willing to give up life as it could have been for this really tumultuous life that the Lord wants for her to have, right? We know that she hears the voice of God. We know that she discerns the moving of the Holy Spirit. We know that she is intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. We know that she knows God in a way that so many other people, I think, don't at that time and at this time, honestly. So having that kind of character reference in mind, we're going to get to a better part of the message because Jennifer is going to talk.
No, that's really good. So I wanted to kind of talk about Mary's role as the mother of Jesus. And we often talk about the kingdom of God as a family. And I've heard the references, the Father kind of being comparable to God the Father, Jesus the Son to the children of God, and the Holy Spirit as having and the characteristics that a mother often has. And so I kind of want to look into that. Mothers in the natural and the spiritual tend to have some of these qualities. One, they birth, right? They birth, they teach, they guide, inspire, they care for and nurture, they comfort and encourage, and then they put things into place. A mom can make it happen, right? A mom can make the idea happen pretty quick. And moms often know their children really well. They know the hearts of their children. And so if you in the natural maybe didn't have a mother like that, then that's okay, because God redeems all things. And so maybe there's a spiritual mother for you like that. But what I want you to kind of think about is the attributes that a lot of mothers carry are attributes that the Holy Spirit also carries. And so he reflects the nature of the Holy Spirit often through the mothers. It can be through the fathers too. Obviously, fathers do these things, but you see these kind of emphasized a lot with the role of the mother, simply by the fact that the mother births the child and is there when they're very young and raising them up. And so the mother's role often mirrors the Holy Spirit's role. And so I want you to kind of keep that in context when we look at the story that we're going to talk about. And this is the story of the first notable miracle that Jesus performed, which we actually were inspired by children's church last week, because I was teaching children's church, and the story that we were talking about was Jesus's first miracle when he turns water into wine. And I was sharing just some thoughts on that with Darren, and it kind of came to him as part of just of an inspiration for what we're going to talk about today. So in John 2, 1 through 12, and I don't read the ERV, sorry. I would.
But not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm old school. I read the books, and I don't have an ERV Bible. So this is New King James. So in John 2, 1 through 12, it talks about the miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. So if y'all can look at that. And so on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, to Jesus, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." Now there were set six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So these are big, right? And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made to wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants, they knew. So the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, but you've kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum. I think I said that right. He and his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So what I'm going to now talk about that story. So what I loved about this, and I got kind of excited, is I love the interaction between Mary and Jesus. And so if you kind of read this in a fun way, Mary obviously knew what Jesus could do. She would not have run up to him in a panic. So first, let's put some context. They're at the wedding. They believe this is probably like a family member's wedding, because Mary is helping with it, and Jesus and his disciples are
invited guests.
They are invited guests. And in this day and age, weddings were like a week long sometimes. So these people have been drinking a long time. There's a lot of wine. There's a lot of partying. But it's an important occasion for them, because they celebrate all week long. And so in this, Mary, I'm imagining that it's maybe Mary's her cousin's son's wedding or something. And so she's in charge of helping with the drink and food, right? Many of you have been there. Many of you women, you get in charge of having to make sure things all go off well. And they've run out of wine. So in this time, that's a big embarrassment. And what I said to the kids last week, that's like having a birthday party and running out of birthday cake before everyone gets it. Like, it's a big deal. It's a problem. And it's a shameful thing. So first thing I want to point out here is that God cares about your problems.
Amen.
And he cares about your embarrassments. So things that you may think, this is not a big deal, God does really care about the things that are important to you. And in this case, this is obviously very important to Mary, because she runs up to Jesus and she doesn't ask him, "Do you think you could do anything about this?" She just says, "They ran out of wine." So what this tells me is Jesus has been turning water into wine at home a lot. Because, right? She doesn't have to say, she just knows, hey, they ran out of wine. And he's like, he's around everybody. He's like, "What do you want me to do about it?" And
Mom.
Yeah. So I love this interaction between them because you know they're close. He's 30 now. She's raised him for all these years. He's still hanging out with mom at the family event, right? They're close. And so when he calls her woman, I just want to point out that that is not a disrespectful sign. That was a normal thing for an adult male to call another woman. He's not going to say, mommy, you know, he's 30. So we hear that and we're like, that's kind of rude. But it's not rude at that time. It was very, very normal for him to have an appropriate adult son to mother relationship and address her in that way. So first he says, what does it have to do with me? It's not my, and I think what he's saying is, we talked about this, it's not my time to do miracles yet. Because he says, my time has not yet come. And then this is my favorite, and I love Mary. Okay, so Jesus says that. Let's pretend he's Jesus, okay?
And stretch the imagination.
Yes. Yeah. We've run out of wine.
And woman, what is your concern have to do with me, Mom?
Okay. So she doesn't acknowledge him. She just rolls her eyes and turns to the servants and says, whatever he says to do, just do it. So she didn't acknowledge that Jesus said, it's not my problem. I feel like she just looked at him like you would with your son and then turned to the servants, right? Right? Yeah, I'm right. And so the servants, she said that to them because she knew he's going to do this for me. Uh-huh. She trusted him. She knew he's not going to let me down. He's going to help this situation. She knew it is your time. You don't know it yet, but I know it. This is the day. This is the time. And she didn't try to convince him, come on, please, you know, or nudge him or try to tell him anything. She just trusted. And then she told the servants, just do whatever he says. Mary has such faith in her son. She has such faith in him. And some of you moms, you know how that feels. You have such faith in your child, and you know, you got this. You can do this. I'm not even going to argue with you about it. I know you can do it. So even though Jesus is the Son of God, he still needed his mom to believe in him. Yes. And she has faith, and she knows him. And that's a beautiful thing that the Holy Spirit and moms can carry, that spirit of the mother, to say, I know you. I know what you're capable of. You can do it.
I was going to totally interrupt you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, what I love about that is that not only does she have faith in who Jesus is in the spirit, like she obviously gets it. She heard from God. This is who he is. And she has faith in that. Like, I mean, because I know you have faith in your kids, but I don't know that you'd say, can you turn all of this water into wine? You know, I don't know if
right.
we could do that.
But she had seen him
do it. Yeah. So not only does she have faith in who he is in the spirit, that he can perform this wonder, but also she's got confidence in her relationship with him as his mom, as someone who he trusts and will listen to. And she can push him.
That's
just
right.
a little bit.
So Mary is not going, Mary, and if we think of Mary as a mother, but also representing, in my mind, what the Bible's trying to teach us a little bit, representing the Holy Spirit, Mary's not going to go against the will of the Father.
Amen.
So we already know that Jesus has said, and he says many times in John particularly, that he's only going to do what the Father tells him to do. And in John 5:19, he says, the Son can do nothing for himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does. And so we know that, okay, well, we know from the story, for one, Jesus does it, right? Mary, I picture her telling the servants and she leaves. She's just confident it's going to happen. Jesus loves his mother and he trusts her. But Jesus would not have done this miracle if the Father were telling him, no, it's not your time. So they're in agreement. So the Holy Spirit and the Father in agreement to push the Son out, okay? So they are in agreement about this. Jesus, I don't think, recognized that, but I bet he recognized it real quick. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. We know Jesus is obedient. We know he's not going to disobey. And Mary did not trick her son or push him into obedience, but she encouraged this, and she encouraged this, and I believe that it was his time, and he needed this nudge, this encouragement. So this is a good example, again, of how the mother, or representing the Holy Spirit in this story, and the Father worked together to reveal the Son, which is Jesus, to the earth. Because this was the first notable miracle that happened. And after this, so he had already gathered his disciples, but they probably weren't so sure yet who they were following, because no signs and wonders had happened. So this was the first time that the miracle happened, and people began to believe. It says his disciples believed in him after this. So this is really important. This is an important day, and Jesus was just going to the wedding. So sometimes, you know, we think we have this big, important mission, and it's supposed to look a certain way, the ministry we have. But Jesus was just going to a wedding, and at this wedding, he was honoring his mother, he was obedient to the Father, and his ministry was launched. So in your own life, I just kind of, as aside, you don't have to wait for the big moment when, like, it's your reveal. It's time for you to have the stage and be revealed to launch the ministry that God has in you. Okay, wherever you're at. So this is where Jesus was at with family, enjoying the day, and something amazing happened. And are you okay for me to keep going, or do you want to?
Yeah,
okay. This is a big thing. Jesus' ministry then began in the context of relationship. It didn't happen on his own. He wasn't just out like preaching to the masses. It began in the context of relationship, the family relationship at the wedding, and with his relationship with his mother. So this is a quote from Bill Hart: "Never let your ministry be greater than your relationships." And so that's really important. So he did not hurt the relationship that he had with his mother or all the family members at the wedding. That was priority to him. And God used this specifically to launch his ministry in the context of he was with family and he was in relationship with others. And I just think that's really important for us. So through this act of obedience and sacrifice, Jesus was revealed to the earth. And it always takes an act of obedience and sacrifice for God to be revealed through us and to others. And the purpose, again, of this this act was not to show off. It's not like, well, signs and wonders, here's Jesus, big lights, you know, we're going to launch him. It's his ball, his little whatever. We're not launching Jesus onto the scene. So the purpose was not to show off the skills Jesus had or to make him look like he was special. The purpose of any divine work or miracle, the purpose of any of that is to always bring glory to God the Father.
Yes.
And so that the world will believe and then have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. So this was not about Jesus' launch, but he works in unity with his family, listening to the Lord and the Holy Spirit for the purpose of bringing glory to God. And so in our own lives, whatever miraculous or divine things are going to happen with you, you have to come into agreement with, one, the authority of God, the Father, because we know he's in agreement with God, and with the empowering Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit, in order for you as the sons and daughters of God to reveal him to the earth. So it's a beautiful trinity, and it shows the family relationship, how God the Father and then the Holy Spirit working through Mary revealed the Son to the earth. Yeah, and so it's just like as two parents reveal, or the actions and the nature of a child often reveal the parents, mm-hmm. right? And so it works together. And then I'm almost done, but I want to close with this. Nothing of significance happens in your life until we come into agreement with God and we're willing to have the change. And it all begins with hearing the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So you have to come into agreement. Jesus was not out of agreement with God. Even though he said, it's not my time, he just didn't realize that the Holy Spirit and the Lord were saying, it is your time. And they gave him the nudge. So if you are... if you have others in your life, like Darren was talking about, having other people is so important, then it's important that you help to play this role too. I'm pushing people out a little bit and encouraging them and saying, I see you. I see what you're capable of. I know what God has for you, and I'm going to encourage you to do that. I see you. So we want to play that role that Mary played with Jesus of just going, okay, I know what you can do. I believe in you, and I'm confident that you can do it. And that's kind of what I take away from the story. And I love the story more now that I kind of have read it with different eyes with Mary and Jesus. And so, Yeah.
Amen. Amen. As Jennifer was saying, as she was quoting Pastor from a couple weeks ago, relationship first, relationship first, relationship first, right? Ministry is not something that we do. Ministry is an outcropping of who we are. Ministry is, in Jesus's example here, he's just going to a wedding. He's just hanging out. He's just like enjoying the celebration. And his mom, Mary reminds me of my mom in this story. I love that. Like, hey, Darren, this needs to be done. But mom, I was gonna, gone. She just left. This needs to be done. That's it. That's the end of that conversation, right? And so I do love that, you know, that she says, they need more wine. And he's, why is that? My mom, ah, dang it. Okay. One of the takeaways that I get from this and in thinking about that interaction between Mary and Jesus and how it's so much like the interactions that we have with our own mothers, our own, whether it's natural or spiritual moms and dads, we all need those people, as Jennifer said, we all need those people who are going to know us in those moments when we doubt who we are. We need those people who are going to know us and be so confident in who God has made in us that they can say, no, you're not getting it right. I challenge you to be who I know you are. And I'm going to create this situation that that is going to encourage you to step out and to see for yourself who I already know you to be. And as you do that, then other people will see what I already knew about you. Those are the kinds of relationships. It's wonderful to have acquaintances, but the kind of relationships that really develop something in you are the kinds where you can challenge each other, where you can be vulnerable, where sometimes, yeah, you might get a little offended. But there's a covering and an umbrella of love that goes over that, where you know that the person has God's best interest for you at heart, and it covers a multitude of awkward situations, right? So we're looking at Jesus' ministry. Jennifer mentioned in the book of John that Jesus says a couple times, it's actually 9 times in the book of John, Jesus says, I can't do this by myself. And I think that's just crazy. When I think about Jesus saying, I can't do this alone, I'm like, sure you can. You're Jesus. And nope, I can't do this alone. I have the intimate connection with the Father, but in order for things to happen on earth, it has to come through me in connection with other people. I only do and I only say what I hear the Father doing and saying, but the things that he's doing and saying are for you. So without that piece of the puzzle, then it just stays right here. There's no outlet for it, and he never gets revealed to you. And if he never gets revealed to you, then he never gets revealed through you. And that's the big picture. That's the end game, is that God wants to use you in your relationships with other people. First and foremost, I think it goes without saying, he wants to know you. And he wants you to know him, because Christianity is a relationship. It's not a set of rules. It's not it's not something, you know, it's not functions that you perform so that you can earn like a holy seal of approval on the stuff that you did all day. That's not what this is. This is relationship. This is knowing the God who created you, knowing the one who knows you better than you know yourself, being vulnerable and open to things that you can't see with your natural eyes, being willing to hear things that are not going to be audible in the atmosphere around you, but being able to listen and focus with your heart and with your mind and with your spirit, and coming to terms with there's a God who has so much planned for you that he can't give you the entire answer all at once. He has to give it to you little by little, or you wouldn't know what to do with it. You wouldn't be able to follow it. It wouldn't result in the peaceable fruit that he's trying to develop in your life, right? So first and foremost, there's that relationship. But we don't become who we are in God without other people that he's placed us in this life with, right? And so I want to just encourage everyone. There's 9 times in the book of John where Jesus says, I can't do this on my own. I got to say, there's probably about 1 billion times more than that where I'm saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. I need relationships like I need relationships like the one I have with Jennifer, where she can challenge me and she can say, you know what, you're better than that. I know who you are. Right? Without saying it, you know what I'm saying. You need those relationships in your life where people know you better than you know yourself, and they can challenge you to rise up to everything that you've been called to be. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And so, do you have other stuff? Because I'm crying.
Well,
so.
I just want to point out there are some people that may be saying, I know I need that, but I don't have those relationships in my life. And so, you know, our prayer for you is that the Lord will bring those relationships into your life or give you an awareness and eyes to see maybe relationships that are around you already that maybe you've put some walls up against or are allowing others to be close to you. And so, you know, ultimately, the main relationship that can speak into our lives in such a positive way and doesn't ever get it wrong, because human relationships will, no matter how much people love you, is the Holy Spirit. So I would just want to say that even if you feel like right now I don't have that kind of intimacy in my life, begin to pray for it and also recognize you may have it in your life. It may be hurts and wounds have put up some walls to where you don't really want to feel that or accept that in your life. And I know that may sound harsh if you feel that way, but it's true that our hurts that we go through can put up walls and make us feel isolated when maybe we're not isolated. Maybe the reality is there are people who love us and want to be in that role in our life, but we're not allowing them in. So pray about that and ask God to open your eyes to see if that's happening with you. And then ultimately, for all of us, even if you have strong relationships in your life and people that do speak truth into your life, ultimately, though, the main one is the Holy Spirit, your relationship with the Lord, right? Because even people that we love, best intentioned, can sometimes get it wrong. So we really put our faith and trust in the Holy Spirit, and then that confirms with us. So again, Jesus, if it did not confirm with Jesus what Mary said, he would not have done this miracle. So he needed that physical relationship, but then it confirmed with what the Father then told him. And so that's kind of how that works. And So I just want to encourage some of you, because I feel like as Darren was saying that, there are some people that are saying, that's all well and good, but I'm lonely or I don't have that. And so, you know, I want you to pray about that and think about that. That is the Lord's desire for you, and I believe that he wants to bring people into your life that have that role. But ultimately, even if you were all alone, even if we all were all alone, we're not alone when we have a relationship with the Father. And he so beautifully represents himself through the Holy Spirit, through comfort and nurturing and love and knowing your heart. Yeah. So God understands how important that relationship is. So if you're only relating to God as the Father or as the Son, and some people feel like, well, Jesus is my bud and God's my authority, you know, and this kind of thing, but you're not understanding, for one, that it's all one, but also if you're not relating to God as your guide and your the voice that speaks to you and encourages you, then you're missing part of your relationship with the Lord. So, you know, really we're pointing you to the Holy Spirit right now, the Holy Spirit that is that one that encourages you and works with the authority of God to release who you are to the earth.
Yeah. And one last thing about that, because I know not everybody has the depth of relationships that you would want to have, the depth of relationships that we're sharing about here. And there are, you know, in all of us, there are challenges, there are hurts and walls and things of the past that we've allowed to become bigger. We've allowed to be hindrances to moving forward in the future. And I look at Mary and I think about I'm just encouraged by her example that she hears, I'm not married. I'm about to be pregnant and I'm about to give birth to the Son of God. There's a lot of challenge there, right? There's a lot of reasons to say, no, I am not up for that. Mary's vulnerability and her openness to say, I am scared. I'm scared. Not only am I in for some pain physically, I'm in for some emotional pain physically, or I'm in for some emotional pain here. I'm in for some from some cultural stigma. I'm in for some people giving me looks and people talking about me behind my back. That's what I'm signing up for. But what she does is she looks at that conflict and she realizes, okay, without conflict, though, there's no story. Without conflict, there's no story. And every challenge that we face, some walls get built up really high, but there is something on the other side of that wall. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we don't have to work super hard and get a sledgehammer out to break down that wall. The Holy Spirit takes care of that wall for us, but we have to let our guard down. We have to be willing to say, Holy Spirit, this is a wall that's really high. I built it up and I don't know how to tear it back down. So I'm just going to take a deep breath. I'm going to let it go. And we do have to let things go. And maybe that was the offensive part, because sometimes we cling on. Sometimes we cling on to our hurts because we don't know who we're going to be if we don't have them. You know? But I want to encourage you today. You're stronger than the hurt that you're holding on to. You are better than the wall that you've built up. There are things for you that God has planned beyond that. And he's saying, let it go. Be vulnerable. Let me take care of the wall and let me hold you by the hand and let me guide you into the next phase, because I've got something better for you. Your story doesn't end with the conflict. Your story ends in breaking through the conflict and getting to the next chapter. And so that's for somebody today, probably for me. I don't know, because I'm crying a lot. I don't know. But as we begin, we good? You good? She's good. She's awesome. So as we started, I just want to, we started out saying, God didn't plan for anybody to go through this alone, including Jesus. And I want to just encourage you this morning, you are not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. You have people that are in your life. You might not even have them highlighted to you yet, but keep your eyes open. I just want to pray over everybody right now. The Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would touch our minds, touch our perception, that even if we feel alone, even if we feel there's nobody, Father, I know that your heart is to bring orphans into families. So I just declare open eyes and open spirit. I declare a new way of looking at this life that we're living. Father, highlight those people to us that you've called us to walk in closer intimacy with. And Father, I ask that you would pave the way in your Holy Spirit. Teach us to be vulnerable and open. Teach us to let go and to let you break down walls so that our relationship with you can strengthen, our relationships with one another can strengthen. And Father, through those relationships that you can be revealed to this earth, because that's your desire. So Lord, use us, and like Mary prayed, Father, we are just your servants. So let it be done to us according to your word. Let it be done to us according to your word. Jesus, you said that your desire was that we would be one as you and the Father are one. So let it be done to us. Let that word be done to us, Lord. And as much as relies on us, teach us to live that out. Teach us to live that out. We open ourselves up to your Spirit. We open ourselves up to your leading. And Father, we open ourselves up to hear your voice. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Amen.
Should we be praying for some folks that they need?
Sure, if you want.
Yeah. All right, let's do that. If you're a ministry team person, you know who you are already, right? So come on up. There's something about this word today, especially about being vulnerable and being open to God doing the new thing and breaking through walls. So we have people up here, and they are full of faith, and they are full of just love, and are wanting to agree with you for God to break through any hurts of the past, for God to break past any walls that have been built up, and for his will to be done in your life. So if that's something that you are, if God's tugging on your heart, the Holy Spirit, you feel that pull right now, or you got that nervousness, and you're thinking that might be me, then it's you. If you think that might be something I want to pray, it's you. So come up. Don't wait. Don't waste this moment, because God is calling to you at this moment. Eric, I don't know what we want to sing. What do you want to sing?
I'm thinking right now.
Eric's going to sing something amazing. That song about Jesus. Let it go.
Somebody also that is feeling like, I'm ready. You know, I want to reveal the heart of the Father to the world. I just don't know how. Then another part of this message was that when, again, the authority of God connects with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then that activates and releases the sons and daughters into the world. And so, you know, for one, we have to have ears to hear. And so Jesus, he said, I only do what I hear my Father saying, and I only say what he says. But then he also was open and willing to hear the Holy Spirit through his mother. And so it's really important that you don't just go, I'm going to find the will for my life just by reading my Bible. I'm going to find the will for my life just by seeking signs and wonders and having a prophecy over me. It's a conglomeration of all the things that the Lord has: the authority of God, the Spirit of God, the obedience. Because that's the part that you play. That's the role of Jesus, right? The obedience. And so it's all those things. And so to really reveal God to the earth through us, we have to have authority. We have to have sensitivity to the Spirit. Hear, and we have to be in obedience. It's a three-part function. So if you're kind of wondering, why isn't things happening for me, then I just encourage you to look inward and ask yourself that. And if you need prayer for that, then come for that too.
So we're going to worship now. And if you're not needing prayer right now, just stay for a few moments. Let's worship together. Let's create an atmosphere in worship where God can really just do what he needs to do in the lives of anybody who needs to come up.